Hey, let's open our Bibles, Psalm 90. We're going to do Psalm 90 today. A little bit of a diversion from 1 Kings. We were in 1 Kings last week. And just a little bit of review. First, I wanted to read. I got an email back. I sent out an email and asked if anybody had some testimony about their own devotion, their time of spending time with God, and I got one response. None of you read the messages, or you don't read the emails, whatever. Anyways, this is from Susan, and she says, "We enjoyed your message. It was interesting to hear so many scriptures about spending time with the Lord in the morning." I hope it's okay if I read this. "Larry is very faithful in his alone time with the Lord each morning. He loves it and devotes a great deal of time to studying. For me, I'm challenged by distractions. I know what that's like. And each day I fight within myself about bringing my phone with me or not. I know when I begin each day with spending time alone with God, it is a much more organized, ordered day. Thank you for encouraging our church family to have devotional time." This is like one of the most important things of being a believer, is having that time with God. It's absolutely essential. We saw last week, looking at the passage, that the Lord is the one that initiates that time. He wants to have time with us. He wants to have time with you. He desires, whether it's morning or evening or both, just matters that it happens, you see. Job, we talked about Job. Job had a regular custom. Every day he would stop. He would pray for his kids and whatever their needs might be. Isaiah had some wonderful scriptures. One here, and I don't know if I'm on the screen there or not. And it is not working. No. Can you advance that for me? Isaiah said in Isaiah 26, he said, "My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you." That's us longing for the Lord. He went on in Isaiah 33, he said, "O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in times of distress." See, it's this idea of a heart after God and spending time alone, talking to Him. Daniel would do it every day. Actually, more than once every day. Jesus, it says in Mark chapter 1, that very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and He left the house and He went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Jesus went and had that time by Himself alone, solitary place. So God's calling, and the question is, are we answering? And is this a part of our day? We're going to talk today about numbering our days and what does that mean. Lloyd Pulley, the speaker at our huddle this year, he said that his quiet time, his devotional time was non-negotiable. And he has a church of thousands and thousands of people. Queen Elizabeth, we saw. Queen Elizabeth had a time every day where she would open her Bible and pray and read, underlining things in her Bible. That's Queen Elizabeth. So let me just go through these again real quick. A special place. A Bible. Got to have a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. Prayer. Maybe a notebook to write things down. Maybe some devotionals. They're all useful. The question I have is, will you die without this? No. But you won't have the strength and the hope and the peace and the wisdom and the direction. There'll be no depth of relationship with you and the Lord. So today I want to look at Psalm 90, and I had planned on doing it last week, ran out of time, of course, and that happens. So I continued it for today, Psalm 90. And the topic is to number our days. What we do with the days that we have. What we do in the days that we have, you see. Psalm 90, as it says here in the top, in the heading of Psalm 90, it says it was a prayer of Moses, the man of God. It was his prayer. It's the only one we have there. We have the song of Moses. We have the blessing of Moses. And here we have the prayer of Moses. If Moses thought that this was important, having this special time, this special crying out to God, it's important for us too. So we're going to look at that. Let's start in verse 1. Psalm 90, verse 1 says this, Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. I just love that. That there's something there. With the scripture, it's good to like read the whole chapter all at once, but it's also good to stop and what does that mean? What is he saying? He says to the Lord, you have been our dwelling place, in other words, where we live, our home. To be at home in him. David Guzik said, this is where we rest, where we can be ourselves, in our home, in the places that we live. Sometimes I think, you know, to be without Christ, and this is, I think, definitely true, to be without Christ, to be without a relationship with God is to be homeless. We're just drifting along. We're wandering with no home. But Moses says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. You have been our home. That refuge is another word we find over and over, especially in the Psalms. Deuteronomy chapter 33 says this, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I love that. That's a beautiful passage, isn't it? You are our dwelling place. Moses says, you are our dwelling place throughout all generations. We talked about Moses. He would go to the tent and he would go there and spend time with God. And another interesting thing I didn't mention last week was that often Joshua would go with Moses into the tent. And then it said that Moses would leave and he would go back down away from the tent. But it says Joshua would stay. He wouldn't leave. He just wanted to spend time with God. Verse 2 in Psalm 90 here, it says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We're talking about the eternal God to be our dwelling place. He says it in verse 1, throughout all generations, doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's going to be there for every one of us from generation to generation, every human being, the possibility to have this relationship, excuse me, with God. But he says that you are God from everlasting to everlasting. Verse 3, he says, you turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. And he's talking there about the fact that we're temporary, but God is everlasting. But we die from ashes to ashes, dust to dust. For 1,000 years in your sight, verse 4, are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new. By evening it is dry and withered. There's so much in those verses, but God has a different view of time than you and I do. But I noticed this. I saw you speaking about grass. You know, in the morning it's green, it's beautiful, but in night, and it's been a long, hot day, it's dry, it's all withered. That made me think, that's like us. That's why we need to go back and get refreshed, renewed, revived. But again, God looks at time differently than we do. Peter said it, didn't he, in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Maybe he was remembering these words from Psalm 90, from Moses. I was thinking too, though, you know what? Sometimes, depending on what the day is like, depending on what your day is like, it seems like 1,000 years, doesn't it? This is a one long bad day. But on the other hand, what can we do in one day? One day is important. Each day is important. What can you do in one day? What can you accomplish in one day? Verse 7, he goes on. He says, "We are consumed by your anger, terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." You know, I read this morning in Isaiah chapter 59, it says that our sins separate us from God. This is what he's talking about here as well. Moses understood this. He realized this. Our sins are lies. And it's not like our sins make us happy or anything. He says, you know, we finish our years, our days pass away. We finish our years with a moan. And literally, it means a rumbling, a growling, a sigh. This is what life is like. Moses isn't pulling any punches. Life is not easy. But he starts off, let's go back to the beginning. He says, "You have been our dwelling place." This is where we have hope with the everlasting God. The life we have here is not easy. He says it here. Their span is but trouble and sorrow. Trouble and sorrow. You ever feel that way? This word for trouble, it includes toil or labor. It's defined as a wearing effort, just getting worn out by the trouble of this life, the sorrow, that the things that happen in this life. One translator translated those words also as emptiness and vanity. The sorrow of this life, the emptiness of this life, the vanity. So what do we have? Like, oh, what a great message, Rich. You're trying to bury us in sorrow and moaning and trouble. No, the message is that we have hope and a home in our relationship with God. But it's short. We're not from everlasting to everlasting. Now we're going to have eternal life with God because of what Jesus did. But this life that we have here, how are we spending it? What are we doing with this life? I want you to turn back with me to Psalm 73. That's not too far. Psalm 73 and verse 24. Let's start in verse 21. Because the psalm writer, he knows a little bit about trouble. He says, "When my heart was grieved, my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet," verse 23 says, "yet I am always with you, and you hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, my dwelling place, my home. And I will tell of all your deeds." This life is not easy. It's difficult. He was struggling, but he realized that his life made sense because God was with him, because he was with God. He says, I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. That's where my home is. That's where my house is. Back to Psalm 90 in verse 11. He says this, who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is so important. One thing I wanted to mention back in verse 10, he says the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. You know, how long are we going to live? I'm going to be 70 next month. So I'm going to get to the first one here, but 80, maybe 80. But, you know, I think this is probably the average here in the middle, 70 to 80. How much time do you have? How much time do I have? So he goes on to say, the time that you have, the time that I have, we need to number our days aright. We need to have wisdom. We need God to teach us. Notice he says that in verse 12, teach us. And who's he talking to? He's not watching, you know, a YouTube video. He's talking to the Lord. He's saying, teach us to number our days aright. This is something we need to learn. It's not automatic. You don't wake up knowing what to do. But to have a heart to ask God to teach us. You see, this is a related subject, this whole psalm here, related to spending time alone with God. God, teach me. That's why it might be the best thing. Again, I'm not making a hard and fast, you know, principle about this, but it might be the best thing to do it in the morning so that you say, well, how am I going to spend my day today? You could say it the night before, well, how am I going to spend my day tomorrow? That's cool too. But what am I going to do today? What kind of purpose do I have in my life today? One man said this, that let us deeply consider our own frailty and the shortness and the uncertainty of life that we may live for eternity and acquaint ourselves with Thee and be at peace. Psalm 39, verse 4, he says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You don't know. I don't know how much time I have. Today might be the only day that I have left. I'm not saying that to be weird or morose or anything. It's just reality. It's the truth. Psalm 139, he says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days were written in your book and ordained for me before one of them came to be. See, God knows how many days we have. So, again, it makes more sense, it makes a lot of sense to spend time with Him and say, God, you know how many days I have, so how should I be living my life? What's important? What's important today? We're good at planning. Well, I want to, you know, I want to be a rocket scientist. I'm still working on that one. I want to be the president of the United States someday, maybe. You know, but what am I going to be today? Pastor Chuck said, God, teach me to number my days that I might really use the time that I have here to the best advantage. Someone else said that, you know, to make the most of one's days since they are so few, enable the faithful to live by the right priorities. Making the most of a short life, since the psalmist wants to live his life wisely, he asks for God's help. Then sorrow will be replaced by joy, and his life will become one of fruitful service for God. Teach us Moses says, to number our days aright. How many of you are really good at mathematics? One, two. Someone said that this is the hardest arithmetic, to teach us to number our days aright, to apply the mathematics to today, and to do the right thing today, to live the right way today. There was a rabbi, he kind of looked at it in this way. He said, if we deduct the childhood, if we deduct sleep time and recreation time and trouble time, what's left? What can we do with the time that we have left in this life, in this day? Teach us. He doesn't say teach us to number our years aright. Teach us to number our days aright. I want to suggest to you as we get to the last parts of this psalm is that there are two things that Moses points out to be really super critical important in numbering our days. Verses 13 and 14, the first, he says, "Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us," when? "In the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." Patrick will say, you know, he keeps going back to that subject again and again, and he'll say that again. I know he will, but that's okay. But Moses says, satisfy us when? In the morning with your unfailing love. He said, there's something about spending time alone with God. And if you're going to number your days aright, if you're going to think about how you spend your day, if you leave this out, well, then you can leave out any singing. You can leave out any joy, any gladness, because all you have is the moaning and the trouble and the sorrow and maybe 70 years, maybe 80, more or less. But with the Lord, as we read in Psalm 23, I've made the Lord my refuge, the sovereign Lord my refuge. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. That mercy, words translated as mercy, is kindness, is loving kindness. F.B. Meyer, he wrote some incredible commentaries, and he was a minister, and he said this, "There's no hour like that of morning, prime for fellowship with God, that hour would overflow into all other hours." Now, he believed it was morning, obviously, but we've already talked about that. But the time we spend alone with God, it goes into the rest of our day, you see, one way or another. And if we don't have any time, then there's nothing to lead into the rest of our day, to overflow into the rest of our day. Again, go back to verse 1. He says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place." This is where I live. This is where I'm at home. "That we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." I've told you this a lot of times. I say, you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm just not doing well. But I spend time alone with the Lord, and something happens. And I can't pinpoint and say, well, it's happened because I did this, because I did that. But in the Word and in spending time with God and talking to Him, something happens in my spirit, in my heart, in my life. And I can get up and go on and do what I need to do in that day. That doesn't make, you know, the whole day perfect or anything, but I know, I testify to this. The second thing, so the first thing is important. If you're going to number your days, do you have a time? As Lloyd Pulley said, that's non-negotiable, that I'm going to take that little chunk of time, whatever it is, whatever you have in your life, whatever you decide, 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever it is. The second thing we see here in verses 15 through 17, he says this, "Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. For as many years as we have seen trouble, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. It's this idea of serving, you see. He says in verse 16, may your deeds be shown to your servants. Not on the right screen, am I? He says, may your deeds be shown to your servants. It's an idea of being a servant, being willing to be a servant, to do and serve the Lord. Now, we can say that easy, oh, I want to serve the Lord, but do you have any time to do that? Have you planned any of that? Now, how can I? And he's saying, Moses is telling us, may your deeds be shown. So you need to ask God, well, what do you want me to do? What can I do to serve you? How can I be useful in the kingdom of God? Because I love that little saying says, you know, only, you know, what's done for Christ will last. Just one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. A lot of the stuff we do in our life is just a waste. It's just waste. But the things we do and the deeds that we do and following the Lord and serving Him, that's what's going to last into eternity. He says, show us what to do. And then he says, establish what we do. Establish the work of our hands. Because we can do a lot of stuff, you know. We can do a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that we're doing the right things or we're doing them in the right way. Establish what we do so that what we do, we're not just spinning our wheels. It's not in vain, but that fruit would come out of it. Psalm 127 says this, unless the Lord builds the house, what? The builders labor in vain. So we can do a lot of things, but we need the Lord's help. And that's why Moses says, establish the work of our hands. Establish the work for us. Now, just so I'm not misunderstood, Ephesians chapter 2 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we're not saved by works, we're not saved by what we do, we're not saved so that we can be saved. Moses said, establish the work of our hands. We have work to do. We have purpose in this life. But look what it says down in verse 10 there. He says, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're not saved by works, but Paul says there in Ephesians that we're made for them. This is what He created us for. He has prepared works in advance for us to do. There's purpose in life. You know what? I think one of the most important things in life is to have some kind of purpose. You read about guys that retire, you know, and they say, I'm just going to, you know, take it easy or whatever, and they end up dying within a very short period of time because they have no purpose in their lives. So, to serve the Lord, I think for every believer, we should have that as one of the purposes in our life, that no matter whether we're working, whether we're retired, whatever place in life we are, that and you say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, Moses says, well, ask the Lord. That's what he did. May your deeds be shown to your servants. Show us what you want me to do. We can make a list, and sometimes it's helpful, too, to say, well, do you know some way that I could serve? And ask somebody. Ask one of the leaders in the church. Ask a brother or sister, how can I serve? What can I do? How can I be of service to the Lord? What can I do in my life that is going to last beyond just, you know, the mundane, silly, ridiculous things that we spend our time on? So those two things I think stand out to me in Psalm 90, devotion and service. I think Moses knew what he was talking about. Do you think? Maybe Moses knew what he was talking about? A couple more quotes and we'll close with a scripture. There's a gal named Dr. Pyle, and she wrote a book called Anticipating Heaven. And she said these words in there. I'm reading it now. She said, "My faith comforts me with the truth that while we can't control how many days of life we get, we can always choose how we will live those days." We don't know how many days. We can't change that necessarily. But we can change what we do today. We can change how we live our lives today. One more quote from a pastor in another state. He says this, "We waste so much time chasing frivolous things. We recognize life's brevity." And Moses prays, as we should each pray, that God will help us live holy and upright lives in His sight all our days. And this might be the hardest discipline. Time is short, so may we use it wisely and for His glory. That's a good prayer. Let's close in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, if you'll turn with me there. And we'll close with this passage. Luke chapter 12. Verses 15-21. This is the parable. The heading here says, "The parable of the rich fool." I can still hear Mr. T calling people fool. Verse 13, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, speaking to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' And Jesus replied, 'Man, who appointed me a judge, an arbiter between you?' And then he said to them, 'Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life," get this, "a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." It's not all about the stuff that we have. And he told them this parable, "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' And then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' And Jesus said this, 'This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God.'" We don't know. We get so caught up in the world and the things of this world, but you know what? What's important? What's going to last? Do you have that time with the Lord? Do you have some way that you're serving? Have you just offered the Lord, "Lord, I want to serve you"? Like the prophet said, "Here am I, send me." What does God want you to do? Don't say, "Well, I can't do anything." No, you can do something. You can do something. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, I want to thank you. I'm just reminded of the fact that these folks sitting here today have made a decision to step out of their places, their homes, and to be here in your house with you, with your people. That blesses me. That blesses you. And I believe it blesses them as well. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, you would show us, you would guide us in the things that you have for our lives. Father, give us wisdom, Lord, and we would number our days in the right way, that we would that we would use the time we have and not be only for ourselves and only for the things and the stuff and the pride and the things that this world wants us to chase after. Help us, Lord, teach us, show us. I pray for each person here that we would examine, like, how do I spend my day? How did I live yesterday? How am I spending my life? Lord, I want to acknowledge you as my dwelling place, my hiding place, my refuge. To spend time with you and be available to you and to serve you. And Lord, I pray for any here today that are homeless, like I said earlier, do not have a relationship with God, do not have a life that has been changed by the love of Jesus Christ. If that's you today, you can turn to Jesus. And the Bible says that all we need to do is knock. The door will open as we knock and say, "Dear Jesus, come into my life and my heart today. Forgive me of my sin. I believe in you. I trust in you today, here." And thank you, God, that you hear that prayer. You hear us when we cry out to you. And you give us a home. And Jesus, you said you're preparing a place for us in heaven as well. And we are anticipating that, looking forward to that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing together, shall we?